sucker. You better watch who you're talking about, running your mouth like you know me. You don't fuck around and chill by the show, make it start to show me. Why 101, you can't hold me if you left me with hands. Only when you wear me out, stick my name on your pants. No resident of France, but you swear I'm from Paris. 106 carats, total all that courage. Trying to get perfect, my chains are your chains. Train a Motorola, no service out of your range. You're out of your brain, thinking I'ma shout out your name. You gotta come up with better ways than actually get your fame. All that pressure you apply, it's time to ease off. Before I hit you from the blind, not taking your sleeves off. As much as we fall, it's hard to please fall. Don't be lying, bitching and crying, suck at the feather loss. Cause your axe is whack, your whole label is whack. Matter of fact,
good evening, everyone, live from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. This is RAWF Live, Love Hurts on pay-per-view, our first pay-per-view show of 2024. Joining me this evening, she is an RAWF Hall of Famer. She is a new WU Hall of Famer. She is a trusted RAWF GM. She is... Ladies and gentlemen, the first class last Maeve O'Hare is here. Good evening, Maeve.
Good evening, Bossman. Back to back.
Back to
back. You're really desperate, or you really like me?
No, I am never desperate, and I also really like you. So, but also to be fair,
those are good things.
L Vacant has been under the weather. I hear he has the donkey flu. Have you heard that?
I don't even want to begin to imagine how you get the donkey flu.
Well, you do it. Never mind. What's that even?
That doesn't sound healthy.
It doesn't. That's what he sounded like on the phone earlier when I tried to talk to him. He was wheezing and sounded just like that. So, yeah.
That's certainly a shame. I truly hate that for him. I hope he's feeling better soon. But
yeah,
you know.
Me too.
Means everyone's got to put up with me again tonight, so.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Of course, also, we're kind of on opposite the big game tonight. I think it's the 69ers and the Taylor Swifts, right? Isn't that how that works?
I think that Taylor Swift went to an Usher show and someone's playing a game in between.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense, and I hear the commercials are pretty good. But I've already seen them all. So,
do you know how much they pay for one of them commercials? I saw it online. They pay $7 million for 30 seconds of commercial time.
That is insane. That is insane. And then most of them you can see before the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's almost like
just spending $7 million on that.
And that's just what they have to pay to get it on air. That doesn't include the production costs. So, you know, since most of them use celebrities. But at any rate, we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about RAWF Love Hurts tonight. And it's a great show, going to be a great show, looking very much forward. It is the 9th annual Love Hurts. It's actually one of the younger... Ninth, yes, it's one of the younger pay-per-views in RAWF history.
That's true. You've got some that are in double digits.
Yes, Love Hurts actually was the first Love Hurts was actually in 2015, so it came a little later than most of the others, and it was but since that very first Love Hurts, it has been a yearly tradition to start off the year. Around Valentine's Day with RAWF Love Hurts. So, and
I'm really glad that it's for this week and not next week.
Yes. Why is that?
Because next week's Lent.
Oh.
I never do well during Lent. We always took it off at my dad's company. I'm always a little underfed during Lent, so.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't think you get cranky necessarily, but you do get a little.
I do get a little hangry. I do get hangry on occasion.
Little hangry, but at least now. Are you gonna at least feed yourself, stuff your face before Valentine's Day so that?
Well, what do you think Fat Tuesday's for? I'm gonna go eat my weight in pancakes before midnight.
Oh, good pancakes. That actually sounds good. And Elvaca's not even here. There's no taco trucks either. You notice that? I'm surprised the nephews didn't like take the initiative, but I guess maybe they're all sick. I don't know.
They might all have caught it. But also, I mean, I can't imagine that they were worried about competing with vegan California pizza. That's still all the time. I did go out and look for it and tried it, and it was sad. It were very sad. Maybe this makes me a bad millennial, but I don't care for avocado anyway. I think it tastes like grass clippings. And then I don't know what they used in place of cheese, but they called it cheese, and it weren't cheese.
So it's not something you're going to consume again anytime soon, is what you're trying to say.
It is not something I would go out of my way to look for, no.
All right. Huh. All right, so Love Hurts tonight. Let's run down the card, if we shall. Some big-time matchups on the undercard, including, I'll start with you, Maeve. You're taking on your best friend, tag team partner, and RAWF legend in the Immortal Griffith. It's a big-time match. First matchup between the two of you and RAWF on pay-per-view. And no title on the line, but, you know, you are in the, as of last night.
That's my saving grace.
Yeah, that's true.
English is mean at pay-per-views, but he's even meaner when there's a belt on the line. So thankfully, I don't have any gold that he wants to take away from me.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, he even mentioned last night how he was kind of enjoying the freedom of no titles, which surprised.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I don't see it lasting too long.
That never lasts very long.
No, it doesn't. He'll get that itch soon enough, I'm sure. I'm surprised. Usually right now is when he's at the hype, because with Immortal season, he's always pumped up for Immortal. So, but still,
I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve.
A big time matchup for you, a victory over Griffith on pay per view, with some ranking cred on the line. It's almost the feel of a title match.
It'll be a good match.
It should be. There were some
There's no one in this company that knows me better than Griffith does. So.
This is true. This is absolutely true. Now, let me take a look here. There were a couple other matchups that were interesting on the undercard. AF James versus Kane, the Governor, is a big-time one. Both of those are top 25 candidates. Aaron McFadden taking on Dr. Kent. That could be interesting. We mentioned last night Draven Blackbird taking on Strangleheart, and if he can beat Strangleheart, he gets some cookies from your ma'am. Have you told your ma'am about that? Has she been informed that she may have to do something?
She's absolutely delighted. She's very excited. She had to ask me which one he wore, and then I finally made her understand, because I told her he's the one who likes pudding, and that rang a bell for her.
Oh. Did you mention straight jackets? Because that's another staple of Draven's persona, if you will, that he sells straight jackets.
I did, and I could hear her making a face over the phone. So I thought it were safer to move on to the pudding.
Another top 25 matchup, the Minion. And he's fairly new to RAWF, but he's showing some promise. Taking on one of your favorites in Eva, I mean, As I said, he's shown some promise here early on, got himself in the top 25 as of last night.
I was going to say, he was in the rankings, and I wasn't expecting that.
Right. But he's taking on Eva, who, you know, has only been back for a little while herself. She seems to be hitting her stride and getting back into the swing of things. So how do you think the minion stacks up to Eva?
I mean, normally when you've got someone who's got the title match and they've also got a non-title match, it's easy to say, oh, well, they're gonna focus on the title match. But given the nature of the title that Eva's defending, I suspect that she'll have plenty of attention for the minion. So I hope that he's brought his A game, because I know from firsthand experience that she is not easy to beat.
And supposedly the minion is one of those guys who says he's a collector of souls. I'd like to see him try to collect Eva's soul. I don't know that she actually has one, or if she does.
What's the thing to say?
Well, okay, she has a soul. It's just it may not be what he's expecting. It might be a handful, if you know what I'm saying. Why did I just quote Randy?
Does that mean that we're going to have to see the Minion and Soul Reaper in a gimmick versus gimmick match and only one of them gets to keep taking souls?
Not really, because, I mean, the guy's called Soul Reaper. When have you heard him talking about collecting souls? He's more...
I assume that it's a job title. It sounds like... If you're not reaping souls, then why are you Soul Reaper? Crying out loud.
Well, I mean, that's fair. But at any rate, so those are some of the more interesting matchups on the undercard. Let's get to some of the other matchups. You've got two Fubar City Street fights. So the aforementioned Soul Reaper taking on his former friend, former stablemate Ken Costas.
Is that Ken Costas Rankin's match, by chance?
Yes, it is. Fubar City Street Fights can count as rankings matches.
Well, that's interesting, because that means Soul Reaper's got a chance to knock him out of the top 25.
Yes, he
might
does.
Might be a little added bonus for Soul Reaper.
It could be, and in all candor, Soul Reaper probably doesn't have a shot in hell of making the top 25 unless there's some sort of miracle just looking at the rankings that I had from last night.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, I mean,
you talk to him and him alone.
But so that's where we're looking at there. Then we've got the other Fubar City Street fight. This one made last night here on After Hours. Well, actually, it was originally scheduled to be a regular rankings match for the two of them, but the two of them decided they wanted to go fight out in the parking lot. Actually, I believe that was Razor's idea, and Paragon agreed. It will be Paragon versus the Razor, first of three matchups against the DOC tonight. And
I really feel like the subtitle for Love Hurt should be Paragon versus the DOC.
Yeah, it is kind of certainly a huge subplot for tonight. There's no doubt about it. There's a few things we could call this tonight, but Paragon certainly versus the DOC is a theme. And Razor, I mean, you know both of these men very, very well. Two that you've been friends / frenemies / enemies with either of them for quite a while. Who do you think is the advantage of Fubar Street Fight?
Given that Paragon's got a lot on his plate, he's got several matches after this one. I think if he's smart, which he tends to be most of the time, with a couple of obvious blind spots excluded, I think he's going to conserve his energy for the bigger matches. I'm not to say that the Rankins match don't matter, not to say that his match against Razor don't matter, but he's got a tag match where he's going to want to make sure that he does right by his partner, and he's got a title match. All things being equal, I think that the smart move is to get the match done quick, to use your environment to your advantage, and honestly, I think, don't waste too much time and effort on Razor when you got so much else coming up, is my advice. Razor, on the other hand, this is the only thing he's got going on tonight. So I think that gives him the advantage. Do I think he's going to win? No, but I think he has the advantage, and if he's smart, he'll press it.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised he took it as a parking lot, because unless he's got some chairs hiding out somewhere in someone's back of someone's pickup, you know, because that's where
there's,
he favors.
There's usually some extra chairs somewhere out in an alley somewhere where they threw them out because they were broken or something. I'm sure he'll find something.
So here's the thing. Right now, Paragon has managed to go undefeated against the DOC, but he's also never had more than one matchup at a time with them. Tonight's a pretty hefty task if he's going to go 3-0, I think. But if he were to lose one, I'm not sure it's going to be this one. Let's talk about the tag challenge match now, the HIP, which is Conk and Natalya Nitro against Paragon and his partner, Nox Boogie. And if possible, Nox could carry the team, take a lot of the pressure off of Paragon so that he can rest up as much as he can for his other matchups. However, it is, I mean, technically, is it a loss to the HIP if it's in this match? Is it a loss to the DOC if they lose tonight, considering that Nox Boogie's a part of it, or is it a huge time, big time downer if they lose?
I mean, I think it's a downer no matter what if they lose, and I think you could make the argument that it don't count because it's not just Paragon and the DOC, but I don't think that the DOC is going to let him get away on the technicality. I think if the HIP wins, they're going to crow about it until immortal on how they defeated Paragon when no one else in the DOC could.
It's strange, you know. What usually when you take on a group. When a group is coming after you, at least in this business, you try to find allies or group your friends, get your friends together and say, hey, help me kick their asses. He really hasn't done that until now, and that was only because they challenged him to a tag match, and he was forced to choose a partner. But, I mean, are you surprised that he hasn't had Nox Boogie and Killing Neptune getting involved and helping him out with the DOC and
I'm not surprised that he hadn't had Killa do it, because Killa's been very busy. He's had a lot on his plate himself. He's been dealing with a lot. He's been Superstars champion. He's been dealing with this conspiracy thing. I am slightly surprised that this is the first we've seen of Nox getting involved, but I also know that Morcorcra is stubborn and is very invested in his pride and his appearance in front of others. He always wants to put his best face forward, and I think that Morcorcra would see it as diminishing his reputation if he had to go outside of himself to find help, even to face a group as big as the DOC.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I can't argue with that. Still, a surprise that I wouldn't be shocked if somewhere down the road we finally see maybe an Opaque Brotherhood versus DOC, maybe six-man. I wouldn't mind seeing that just to see what would happen. But
I mean, I think that would be a good match to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Well, then the question becomes, which third person from the DOC joins in?
Right.
Or would
right.
it be three completely different people? They got
exactly.
plenty to choose from.
All right, moving on. We've got a last man standing match between Hotshot Chaz and Blake Effin' Bradley. Now, we know Blake has returned at Jingle Hell Rock, got involved in the Platinum Dragon title match between Chaz and STB. Chaz looking to get a measure of revenge tonight in their last man standing match. And, you know, we're talking about a guy who's been just returning to RAWF, but when he left RAWF, he was near the top of the leaderboard, if you will. He was he's the next big champion, the next world champion here in RAWF. I'm not going to lie to you. He was on that cusp, but then he had to leave because we couldn't get a contract signed, unfortunately. Chaz has been here, and Chaz has been, you know, gets better and better every day. And you know, he had that shot at the national at the Platinum Dragon Champion. He was that close to beating STB. Tonight, he's got an opportunity to be the national champion. But let's talk about the match with Blake Bradley. Who do you see walking away as the last man standing?
I mean, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I'm going to point out what I said last night, which is that I feel like Chaz has talked himself into something that he shouldn't have. He is walking into a match that weren't his idea, and he's got to wrestle this match against Blake and then go on and have a national title match against Conk. And Conk's no slouch. It's not like he's going to have an easy time of it in that match. I don't think that this were the smartest thing this has ever done. Getting into a last man standing match when you still have a title match to fight later on in the night. At best, you win the match against Blake and you're beat up. At worst, you got knocked out and then have to recover in time for your title match. I don't think that this were the move for him. And I don't like his chances. I think Blake's talked Chaz into something that Chaz didn't expect. And to save face, because apparently the theme for tonight is masculine pride, Chaz agreed to it. And I think he's going to regret it by the time that national title match comes around.
We will find out. It's going to be a hard-fought match. It's certainly going to be take a toll on both of them, and both of them also challenging for titles later in the night. So it could certainly have an effect on their opportunities. We will see. So we got our inaugural Bar Brawl Championship match tonight. It is Taker versus Redneck Avenger to become the inaugural Bar Brawl Champion. And this being the very first champion, they're going to walk away the winner of this match 2 million coins donated by the GM of the new Bar Brawl division, the legendary Conk. So a lot on the line for both men tonight. Not just a championship, not just 2 million coins, but to be the first thing in RAWF history in anything is a big deal. So what are your thoughts? Is it going to be Taker or is it going to be the red-necked one?
My thoughts all of this is going to be a mess. You're putting two hard fighting men in a bar and telling them to have at it. Like I said last night, I think the obvious instinct is to say that Redneck has the advantage here because of who he is, because of his history, because of his reputation. And I think this is another situation where this match is going to have far-reaching effects on title matches later in the card. Because it's not Taker's only title match. This is one of three. And so as much as it would be nice to say, oh, I was the first Bar Brawl champion, look at all this. Much like I said with More Corker and Razor, I feel like perhaps the better part of valor is to save your strength for the bigger matches later on. I don't know that I think either man has an advantage, but I think they're both going to be the worse for wear by the end of the night.
But as you said, Taker's got two titles to defend after that. So, I mean, he does have to at least have that in his head while he and Redneck are destroying the lounge downstairs here at the Staples Center. Luckily, they had warning and got rid of a lot of expensive things out of there, but they still had to have something. But, you know, still, I'm going to pay for that one, but it is what it is. Anywho.
That's what you ought to have done with those 2 million coins that Conk donated.
Well, Conk is helping out a little bit. He promised to pay at least a little bit for the damages done, but only a little bit. Paragon to challenge the Extreme Enigma in his third match against the DOC for the Anything Goes Championship in a submission match. So, you know, Enigma has had an interesting RAWF career. He's kind of been great in between pay-per-views, but when it comes to the pay-per-view, it never works out for him. As a matter of fact,
Enigma's problem is that Enigma's mouth gets them into an awful lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the folks that Enigma's faced at pay-per-views. He faced English. Then Enigma faced me. And now, after some interstitial matches, Enigma's facing more Corkra. And moreover, facing more Corkra for a title and as a representative of the DOC. And we all know how more Corkra feels about the DOC right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be Enigma for all the tea in China. And I do not expect Enigma to hold on to that belt.
I mean, I can't disagree. And I think POG has got a point to prove. And I think of his three matches against the DOC, that might be the one that I almost think he is almost guaranteed to win. Hopefully I didn't just jinx him. But that is what...
If you did, you're going to hear about it.
Yes, I'm sure. If not from him, from you. But anyway.
You have a history of jinxing, folks, is all I'm saying.
So the Champions Choice Championship will be on the line. Eva versus Revenge. I think we both know how this is going to play out. I got to ask you, because she is the one who beat, quote-unquote, beat you for the title at Graveyard Smash. She's had two successful title defenses against... She defeated Aaron McFadden at Black Friday and then Papa Shaker last at Jingle Hell Rock. Now tonight it's Revenge. As Champions Choice champion, and you were Champions Choice champion for the better part of a year, if not over a year, right? What is your mindset with this with this title? Well, how do you pick your opponents and how do you decide on the stipulations?
I mean, I think part of that is different for every champion. Eva does not do things the way that I would do them, but I think she's doing a fantastic job with the belt. I'm always interested to see what she comes up with. For my part, when I were the champion, part of it just came down to what do I think would be the funniest thing to have happen. Sometimes things suggested themselves to me, like when I faced Enigma for Champion's Choice. And all I'd seen and heard for weeks was that Enigma thinks they're this cult of personality. And that gave me the inspiration for the cult of personality match, in which every round I made them get more and more fan support. And so that was literally just born on a whim because of something that they'd said in a scene somewhere. Sometimes I have it planned out like from the very beginning. Like as soon as I finished one title match, I know who I'm challenging and I know what stipulations. Sometimes I'll have stipulations in mind and try to figure out who would that most disadvantage, or I know I want to face this person. What would be a good match to give them? So at the end of the day, I feel like Champion's Choice, more than just about any other title in this company, is about having fun and being entertaining. It's not necessarily going to be the most technically sound match. It's not going to be the most, you know, star-studded, breathtaking, Dave Meltzer gave this 5 stars match, but it's going to be fun. And I think if you're not having fun as the Champion's Choice champion, then you're doing it wrong. And from all I can tell, I think Eva is, in fact, having a good deal of fun with it, and I love that for her.
Yes, I agree. And it is one of Judgment's many great contributions to RAWF, his creation of the Champions Choice Championship several years ago. And I know that most champions that have had it have had fun with it. So Eva is indeed doing a great job. I don't expect her to lose that title tonight. But I suppose anything is possible. Miracles have happened, so we shall see. Tag team titles will be on the line. This is going to be an incredible matchup, I have a feeling. We know about Hotness Overload being not just one of the best tag teams in RAWF, but all of Unstoppable. They know each other so well, husband and wife team. They've been one of the greatest tag teams throughout the business as of late. They're taking on Deez and Mithras, who have been teamed for quite a while here in RAWF, and individually have the individual accolades, certainly, to qualify as near legends. They're both Hall of Famers. Mithras is one of the best singles wrestlers in all of Unstoppable, not just RAWF. And, of course, Deez has shown his times in his RAWF career some brilliance, both of them former world champions. Do they have, I mean, obviously those two as a team can be dangerous, but are they dangerous enough to unseat the legendary Hotness Overload?
I mean, against almost any other team, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Deez and Mithras, no question. But we've seen Hotness Overload defend against legendary teams in this company. We've seen them defend against Dungeons and Dragons, which is one of the toughest teams you'll ever face. We've seen them pull it off time after time after time. Do I think Deez and Mithras are capable of beating Hotness Overload? Sure, any given Sunday. Do I think that they're going to do it tonight? No. And that's nothing against Deez and Mithras. That's not slagging off on either of them, because obviously we all know that they are capable of being champions. They are capable of being tag team champions. Deez has called himself Mr. RAWS pay-per-view for a reason. Mithras is the threshing machine for a reason. But I don't think that any of those individual skills are going to translate into the same kind of synergy that we see out of Hotness Overload. I think it's going to be end still.
I mean, I can't. That is sound analysis. Thank you. Sound analysis, Maeve, certainly. Do want to point out both Deez and Mithras have held the RAWF tag team titles, but with different partners, never with each other. So could be interesting. I've been waiting for this team, seriously though, for months to win the tag team titles, just because I figured at some point they would.
It's definitely one of those where it's just like, how have they not been champions yet?
Yes, exactly.
On paper, it don't make sense. But then you go off and you watch Hotness Overload do what they do, and you're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah, but it should be an awesome tag team title match tonight. One of the best I think we've seen in quite a while. Hobo Ezekiel, two titles on the line for Mr. Yeet, if you will. First defending the Powerball Championship against Nightcrawler, who has been, you know, it's kind of got on an uptick right now. He's gaining some momentum, as you know from the rankings. He was in the top five last night, and he's looking to finish it off with a Powerball Championship win over Mr. Hobo Ezekiel, the Midnight Baller, if you will. Can Hobo hold off a determined Nightcrawler for that title? Do you think he continues to do that and then keeps the money rolling in, or does Nightcrawler win himself some major cash tonight?
If you'd asked me this time last year, I would have said no, there's no chance that Hobo loses that match. But in that interim, we've seen Nightcrawler as world champion. We've seen Nightcrawler accomplish a lot just in the last year here in RAWF. If Nightcrawler is as determined tonight as he was when he won that world championship last year, then yeah, I think that title is going to change hands, especially considering that Hobo's got another title defense on his plate. We talked a lot last night, and we've talked a little bit about today, that kind of balance and act of, like, I've got multiple belts. I can only do so much. I'm only one person, and for most of us, I'm only human. And I think Siege and the rightness of Hobo being the Midnight Hobo Champion outweighs the payday of being the Powerball Champion. Because really, I mean, let's hope. I mean, you told me Hobo's bought a box car in Beverly Hills, which I'm still trying to puzzle that one out. But really, like, what's Hobo going to spend that much money on every month?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But, meanwhile, Nightcrawler's got another mouth to feed.
Oh, yes, this is true. His family,
he's got a growing family, gets larger.
It seems
like every year. Kids are expensive. They'll eat you out of house and home, and then they need things. You got to give them clothes and braces and college educations and God knows what else. So I think Nightcrawler's got more of an impetus to get that payday than Hobo has to keep it.
True enough. And certainly, Hobo is one of those guys, and I'm surprised, hasn't been in contention for the world title. Because he is, you know, as funny as he is, as weird as his antics are outside of the ring, he's still one of the toughest competitors in RAWF. So, to tell you the truth, if he doesn't hold that Powerball title against NC, it won't be a great loss. But I would like to see him somewhere down the road, possibly a main event spot for him somewhere, if the cards play out for him. We shall see.
I think the fans want to see that.
I think so, too.
There are very few people in this company that have the sort of consistent fan engagement and just that fan favorite aspect to them that Hobo has.
I think the only person I know that wouldn't want to see Hobo Ezekiel as world champion would be Dan the Man Levitan. So but he is Hobo also defending the Midnight Hobo Championship against Kayla the Governess, and it sounded to me last night you didn't think he was in much danger of losing that title to Kayla.
I don't mean it as an insult to anyone. I'm looking at patterns. I'm looking at what I know about folks, and Kayla, much like Enigma, is one of those folks who is very good at getting to that title match and is a lot less consistent in doing well at the pay-per-view than she were doing well to get to the pay-per-view. We've seen her consistently in the rankings, consistently winning those contendership matches, but the success is never quite as forthcoming as it might ought to be. And I don't know what to attribute that to. I don't know if it's jitters. I don't know if it's just pure bad luck. I don't know if it's overconfidence of, I got there, so it's guaranteed. I don't know what to attribute it to, but it seems to be a consistent pattern. And given how much Hobo enjoys being the Midnight Hobo Champion, I feel like he's going to fight harder to keep that one than he is the Powerball.
Well, you would hope so. I mean, the Midnight Hobo Championship, I know, is kind of near and dear to your heart. You're one of the longest. You held it quite a long time yourself, so I'm sure you're ecstatic that Hobo Ezekiel is the one holding it. Will Kayla be able to add that to her resume? We shall find out tonight. Taker defends the Multimedia Championship against Davila. That one is going to be a good one, to say the least. Hall of Famer Davila looks to add the Multimedia Championship to her resume. I don't know that she's ever held it. I'm going to take a look here. I might be wrong.
I don't think.
Yes.
So.
I take that back. Two. Twice. She is a two-time Multimedia Champion. She beat Judgment for it at Philadelphia Freedom in 2018. And then she won it again in 2020, defeated Claymore at Jingle Hell Rock of 2020. Held it for
120. I do remember that match now that you mention it. I weren't around for when it was Dev and Judge, but I do remember Dev beating Clay now that you say something. Huh.
So if she can beat The Undertaker tonight, it will be her third reign as multimedia champion.
Do you have offhand the record on
how... This will be her fourth reign with it. I just found another one where she beat in 2016. The multimedia championship history, to be fair, you have to understand the multimedia championship history. It used to be the radio show title back in the early days. And so for the first year and a half or so, it was defended every year. It went back and forth and back and forth. It went through so many people. And it wasn't until right before Davila won it for the first time in 2016 that it actually became a pay-per-view title where it was defended on pay-per-views only. So it's the history of multimedia is extremely hard to go back and research. I would have to go back to every single radio show I ever did. And maybe one of these days I'll try doing that, but I doubt it. But yes, this will be Davila.
Here till the heat death of the universe.
Yes, the fourth. If she beats Taker tonight, it will be her fourth multimedia championship reign. She beat Chance Harper at the second Love Hurts, actually.
Core, that's a name I ain't heard in a minute.
Chance Harper, I know, right? Who does? I even forgot. I forgot that he was even in RAWF, in Unstoppable. I'm more used to him being a YouTuber or YouTube character these days. But I don't even know if he's not doing that anymore.
I think he's mostly managing these days rather than getting in the ring himself. I did not realize he were that old.
But at any rate,
imagine that.
Does Davila get that fourth reign tonight, do you think?
If this were Taker's only title match tonight, I'd say no chance. I still think Taker's got a fair to middling chance to take that belt home with him as well. So I'm just going to renew my plea. Whichever one of you goes home with that belt, please, please, please do something with it. You can do an interpretive dance. You can make your own line of freezer meals to sell on infomercials. I will help you put together a Google slide presentation. Please do something with it. We'll do a stop motion Lego movie.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay, so at any rate, we will find out who walks away with the Multimedia Championship and if indeed they get to do a Lego movie with Maeve. Now I'm interested. I kind of want to see that happen. Maybe it doesn't even have to be with one of them two. Just make one. I've always been... Anyways, Triple Crown Championship, Natalya Nitro, Black Lilith, and Fire Chief Bill, two members of the DOC, one member of, I don't know if she's a member of anything, maybe Triple A, I don't know, but Lilith has her work cut out for her if she wants to be Triple Crown Champion, because I have a feeling the DOC plans on the title staying in their hands, whether it be Lilith or FCB, it doesn't matter. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. If
the DOC doesn't take that belt home with them, I'm going to be disappointed in them because you had one job.
Right? But it could attest to the toughness of Black Lilith. I mean, she's been very quiet, but she's been around for quite a while in this business. So I'm sure she's won her share of titles and knows how to win such matches. We will find out. But it should be a good matchup. Chris Cage defending his FUBAR City Championship against the quote-unquote mayor of FUBAR City. This is going to be an interesting night for him. He's been without a title for quite a while, and I know he wants to get one. He has two opportunities tonight, this one being one that he really wants against Chris Cage, but it's his second opportunity since Chris Cage won the FUBAR City title. Does he get the job done in the rematch, do you think, Maeve?
Out of all of the matches that have people with multiple belts, I think this is the one that is the easiest to say, let it go. Considering what else Chris Cage has on his plate, I would not judge one bit if he just threw the belt at him and said, here you go. Because I know what's coming down the pipe for Chris Cage in the main event. I don't think that that's what Chris Cage is going to do, because we've met Chris Cage and we know that very few people love fighting quite as much as Chris Cage loves fighting. But I wouldn't be mad at it if he did. I think that might be our best chance to see a title change hands tonight.
I'm not disagreeing, because I honestly thought that maybe Deez would wrest that away from him in their first matchup and was shocked that it didn't happen. Because I know how much that title means to Deez, that FUBAR City Championship. He loved calling himself the mayor of FUBAR City. And he wants to see that title back around his waist, I think, more than maybe even getting the world title back means to him. I could be wrong about that, but I kind of lean toward Deez in this just because I think Chris Cage has got a tougher challenge to worry about and a title that I'm sure he doesn't want to lose here in the main event. Let's talk about the Estrogen Championship, the First Lady of Anarchy, the Cougar, defending against DW Diesel Warrior. And that one is, you know, these two have had their battles for that title before. And, it is, you know, DW would love to get that belt back around her waist, but she's talking about going up against the greatest Estrogen champion in RAW history, looking to extend her record-setting title reign here. I mean, as tough as DW is, as proven as she is, love her to death, can she unseat Cougs and go to Immortal as the Estrogen champion? Your thoughts?
I mean, let's be real. If anyone could do it, DW is near the top of that list. Does that mean I think it's going to happen? Not tonight. We're heading into the part of the year that that Cougs likes best. That's the last night. She loves her anniversary. Because her anniversary's around there. She loves Philadelphia Freedom. Cougs is going to want to hold on to that belt to go into her favorite season in RAWF. This has absolutely nothing to do with DW's quality of work. DW has been Estrogen champion. I feel like DW is going to be Estrogen champion again. I don't think it's tonight.
All right. That's a fair assessment, although I can't say that I'll be 100% shocked if DW is able to beat Cougs, because she is one of the, as you said, one of...
No, that's not a shocking moment at all, because
no.
DW is quite capable of it.
There are two or three, I think, could wrest that title away from her on a night when they're on the top of their game, DW being one of them, another one being you as well. So, you know, it
well,
is...
It's kind of you to say.
So, with that being said, good luck to DW. I know she's out in the chat, and good luck to you against Cougs tonight, DW. All right, we've got Conk defending the national championship against Hotshot Chaz. And, you know, Conk and Chaz, they've got a bit of a history, and Chaz wants to win that national title. He's a... You know, he's had a pretty good RAWF career thus far. Former Triple Crown champion, former After Hours champion. He's had a multitude of opportunities. Tonight, I think he's got to take that step and beat Conk. Otherwise, it's almost a must win for him. I feel like. Am I wrong? Am I overstating it?
He's got to win at least one of his matches tonight. He's got two opportunities. Obviously, best case scenario for Chaz is he wins both of them and proves all of the doubters, including myself, wrong. I feel like he's got to win one of them. And much as I would like to see him beat Blake Bradley at his own game and win that last man standing match, I feel like for Chaz, this is the match he wants to win more than anything. Because Chaz's story throughout his career here in RWF has been that he's felt like he's never quite gotten over that last hurdle. He's won the title, but it weren't the title that he wanted. It weren't the prestige that he wanted. Or he had the title, but he didn't have it long enough. And so I think the honor and the glory that comes with beating someone as legendary as Conk in a title match, in a match that Conk himself has been saying for weeks, you can't beat me here. I think that's the boost of confidence and reputation that Chaz needs to get to that next level that everyone, including myself, including you, including Vacant, including English, including Paragon, all of us have been saying for years now, Chaz is ready to go to that next level, and I think this is how he does it.
By RAWF standards, Chaz, you know, I know Chaz's career very, very well. It's a young career still, certainly, but he's certainly, you know, made a name for himself in here at RAWF. I do not know what his reputation is outside in the indies, how well he does out there. I'll be honest, because, you know, I tend to kind of narrow my...
You're busy enough with all this. You don't have time to pay attention to all those lesser companies. I get
exactly.
It. It's fine.
But with that being said, I do know Conk's reputation. I do remember Conk. I do know what Conk did back in the day. I do know he has a huge reputation. So it's almost like Conk could lose this match, and he'd still... in my mind, be a legend.
He's still Conk. He's still a legend. Yeah. He's already gotten there. Chaz ain't there yet, and this is what he needs to get there.
Exactly. That's exactly. That's why I consider this almost a must-win for Chaz, and it would be a huge win for Chaz, possibly the biggest in his RAWF career. So.
I think that's not overstating it. I think that's correct. You okay there, boss man?
Yes, I just you sly devil, you sent me some pictures there. They're pretty funny. That's pretty clever there.
I didn't send him nudes, you pervs, before someone says it.
I said they were clever. I wouldn't be laughing
if she'd sent
me something like that. I wouldn't be laughing. I would be like, excuse me, we need to take a commercial break. But at any rate,
I'm just making sure that the folks out there don't get any wrong ideas. Those are not
right.
10 snaps to the boss man.
No. Let's say, I'm not going to say any more further because it could incriminate me. At any rate. all right. Back to, what were we talking about? Oh, yes. It's time for Platinum Dragon Championship. Simply the Best has chance to make history tonight if he can walk away with both the World and Platinum Dragon Championships and go to Immortal as both champions compete in the two biggest matches of the card of the night. First, he has to just successfully defend that title against Killer Neptune. The conspiracy comes to a head tonight, hopefully comes to an end if he defeats SDB for that Platinum Dragon Championship. Normally I'd ask when someone is in two big matches like that, which one takes precedent, but SCB has shown in the past he can handle both matches at the same time. He's never won both matches, but he certainly has been in both of them. Is this SCB's night to walk away with both titles, or does either Chris Cage retain the world title, or does Killa upset him for the Platinum Dragon Championship? What do you think STB is going to walk away with tonight?
I'm not sure. I think he's going to walk away with a belt. I'm not sure which one. I don't think that he walks away empty-handed. I think he's going to have a big match at Immortal. But... I'm not sure which one, because we've seen for months now this thing that Killa keeps calling a conspiracy, but which really I feel like is just Killa being Killa. Like, Killa's in the RAWF Hall of Fame for a reason. Killa has held a list of titles as long as me arm here in this company. So I don't think that it's an upset for Killa to beat STV for the Platinum Dragon title. I don't think it's an upset for STV to retain it either. So I feel like it's going to be a very even fight, and it's going to come down to how far ahead is STV looking. Is STV's mind in the moment in this match with Killa, or is he looking past Killa to Chris Cage? And I think really that gets at the heart of this conspiracy anyway, is folks have been looking past Killa Neptune this whole time, and I think that's why he's done everything that he's done, because folks were never taking him seriously.
Well, here's the thing, and you know, there's no doubt Killa Neptune is an RAWF Hall of Famer, former multi-time Platinum Dragon champion, has won many titles in his RAWF career. He has earned everything he's gotten, but he has never, I feel like, had a signature moment, at least not since, say, 2018, when I think it was that he beat his brother Paragon for the Platinum Dragon Championship. That was the last time Killa had a signature win. Yes, he's been very consistent, very strong, very tough to beat for many years, but we've never seen him in a huge matchup like this, and for the Platinum Dragon Championship, occasionally for a world title contender match, but we've never seen him get that signature win he needs to put him over the top to even get, you know, it's like he can't get to that next level. He's got to do it tonight, I think. Conspiracy or no conspiracy, this is Killa's best chance to get that signature win. And can he do it against STB, who right now is charged up? He wants to be the world champion and Platinum Dragon champion going to Immortal. If Killa wins tonight, it will be the biggest win of his already above career. That much I know. Can he do it? I'm skeptical.
I think he can. But I think that the person who can answer that question better than either of us is out there in the audience. I feel like Hobo knows more about this than he's letting on. He's been investigating for months now. And I suspect that if anyone has any insight into this match, it's that man.
But let's now focus on the main event, because Chris Cage is the new World Heavyweight Champion, the biggest win of his career at Jingle Hell Rock over the Immortal Griffith for that World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, we haven't had a one-and-done World Heavyweight Champion for quite a while. I mean, most of the champions, the last one, really, was... We had the shortest reign we've had in the last couple years. Mithras had a 28-day reign. He defeated Strangleheart at Tropical Aggression and then lost the title 4 weeks later on Superstars to the Teflon Sheik. But, you know, Mithras can afford to do that. He's a multi-time world heavyweight champion. This is Chris Cage's first time with that title. I'd hate to see him lose it, be one and done. But he's facing... At this moment, the most motivated wrestler in RAWF. With that being said, I'm worried that Chris Cage may be a one and done champion tonight. Your thoughts?
It's not outside the realm of possibility, because STB has been at the top of the rankings, if not number one, then no less than. I don't think I can't remember the last time he were any lower ranked than like four. It's been a minute. STB is consistent. STB is good in the ring. There's no denying that. But the Chris Cage we've seen lately is also consistent and is also very good in the ring. If he can stay focused, I think that the impetus to prove that he's not just a one-and-done champion, that it weren't a fluke that he got that belt. Because I know that there's been some talk that, you know, on any given Sunday, there's no way he should have won that match, and he did. And I think that he's going to want to prove to himself, to the fans, to everyone in the locker room, that it's not just an accident of fate that he has that title. I think more than STB has that drive to go to Immortal as a double champion, I think Chris Cage has the drive to go to Immortal and prove that he belongs there. So I think that there's a slight edge going to Chris Cage in this match, and I think he's going to retain.
All right, so that is Love Hurts in a nutshell. I've got breaking news from Las Vegas and the big game that's happening over there. Usher has torn his ACL during the halftime show and is out for the season.
Well, shit. I didn't have that on my 2024 bingo card.
You didn't have that on your bingo. You didn't have that as your one of your side bets that Usher would tear his ACL and no.
I can't say that I took the odds on that one. No.
All right. Well, Love Hurts is, you know, well, not really in the books because the matches are all still going. It is now. We now turn our attention to and focus to the biggest night of the year for RAWF. That will be Immortal 11, March 31st, live from Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas. And as you know, Maeve, two very important things happen at Immortal. First is the naming of the folks that will go into the RAWF Hall of Fame at Radiversary in June. And the second, of course, is the kickoff of the annual Xanther Memorial. So with that being said, just a few hours ago, the official donation scene for the Xanther tournament this year has gone up already. We're getting in some great donations from some very great, very generous people. And I want to thank everybody that has donated thus far and who will donate. What we're going to be doing, we're going to be taking donations for about 3 weeks. And once we get all that done and conglomerated, then we will figure out what the prizes are. Then we will start sign-ups approximately probably 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time before the tournament. But the donation scene is up. I did send everybody in RAWF a message. Please JBS the scene so that everybody Unstoppable sees it. And has an opportunity if they'd like to donate. If you do donate, at least, make sure I get that number right before I say it. If you donate over 250,000 coins or 100 wrestler bucks, a company or artwork, you'll be given a special promo pick. And a sample of that promo pick is also in the scene. Someone's handsome mug there. I don't remember that tie.
Very photogenic company owner.
Yes, a very photogenic company owner. And if you wish to donate, you can either post in the scene to let us know, or you can contact one of the GMs that are listed there in the scene. A lot of very generous donators thus far. We're going to have to. We're going to be getting invites out to the ones that have already here later tonight. So hopefully we'll get that done.
I'd like to point out, Boss Man, that this scene has been active for about 4 hours. We've already got 48.5 million coins, 1,500 wrestle bucks, a company, four entrance videos, three promo picks, and an animated nameplate.
Wow, look at you on top of everything.
This
is the early days. Now, and you know, I am always amazed every year, the donations. It always surprises me. It shocks me. It seems like every year we get a record amount of coins, a record amount. And now, that doesn't mean I care about that. Really, just the fact that people are willing to donate and get involved in the Xanther tournament makes me happy enough. But, you know, it always amazes me every year the amount of donations we get for this tournament, when I know that there's other tournaments out there, people asking for donations and whatnot. So it always does me good. It always makes me feel a little better feel good about this. And thank you for helping me out with this, as well as the other GMs that will be helping us out. Collect the donations, take invites, and let me know who I need to invite and make pictures for. So thank you to everyone who has donated in the past or will be donating this year. And yeah, you will be seeing that scene on your feed quite a bit over the next couple weeks.
We are going to be spamming the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Reiterate what Bossman said, you've got until the 9th of March to get your donations in, and then starting the 10th of March, we will have signups ready for everyone to try to win some of these bucks and coins and companies, and God knows what else we'll have by the end of this.
I mean, and we got a lot of great artists that are already donated, are saying, I'll make an entrance video. We'll make it, as you said, what, how many entrance videos? Three, four?
Four.
I mean,
four videos, three picks, and a plate.
And you look at, you know, Hobo Ezekiel wants to do an entrance video. Enigma's doing entrance video. Blake Bradley, all of them do great entrance videos. And Conk, he's donating a whole bunch of stuff. Promo package, three picks.
Conk is donating an entire promotional package.
Yes. And I have to say,
you were behind on collecting your artwork. Now's your chance.
Right. Yeah, shout out to Conk, because since he returned over the last few months, he's been a hell, doing a hell of a job as an artist. I think he's made just about everybody on Unstoppable at least one promo pick of sorts. So, and his stuff's pretty damn good. I don't think I could ever accomplish some of the stuff he does.
It has only gotten better in the months since he's gotten back. Like, his art were already good when he first came back, and like looking at that compared to what he's doing now, it's just gotten better.
So you have an opportunity, if you win this answer, to get a full-blown promo package from Conk. That is gonna be a treat for anybody who wins that tournament. And of course, last year's winner, Sassy Applebee's, she's already donated some of the winnings from last year back into this year. So thank you for that, Sassy. Always a class act. And for everybody else, we appreciate the donations, and we will continue to appreciate the donations going forward. But yes, that tournament slated to kick off on March 31st, live from Houston, Texas. And it's another thing that always amazes me is the people do come from all corners. Maeve, we get some, you know, people that would never step foot in the RAWF otherwise. They come for the Xanther. So I got to give kudos to anybody, and we really do anybody.
It is the biggest tournament of the year, and it is the one time a year where no matter who you are, what your past is, if you work in this world, you get a chance to compete in an RAWF ring.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely, and it is one of my favorite times of the year. As much work as it is to get the Xanther coordinated, and you now today have got a taste of what I do with the spreadsheets and whatnot, and the fact that I do that every year just about the same way. It seems like a lot of work, but it's actually a lot of fun at times. So,
and it's worthwhile, and that's what makes it so fun.
And it's all
seeing
about
what this tournament means to everyone.
Right. And it's all about remembering Xanther and others as well, you know. But Xanther was really one of the building blocks for RAWF, even though he wasn't around very long after RAWF started. He passed away fairly soon after RAWF. A lot of his ideas, a lot of talking, phone calls with him and Shifty, you know, helped build the process for RAWF. And I did get to meet Xanther in person, his manager, for a few hours. He and Shifty and I went and saw him, and went to a movie with him. And it was, he was definitely one of the good ones. And I've always said that, and I always will say that he was definitely one of the good ones. And he, even after all this time, after a decade, I still remember that visit with Xanther and remember some of the things he said and did, and the camaraderie he had with Shifty. It was a It was a day I will never forget, and it's one of those things that reasons that the Xanther is still going over a decade later. But with all that being said, folks, that tournament will kick off at Immortal 11, March 31st from Reliance Stadium, Immortal 10. And a lot of people make comments about 11. Yes. Sorry. Yes. 11.
You've been listening to English too much.
Yes, 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 because he didn't have compete at the first one. It's technically not, that one didn't count. I think
that's what I've been told my whole career.
Yeah, but, yeah, right, all right. But at any rate, Immortal 10, the logo for it is on the RAWF main page, and I think it may be the best one we've ever had. I got to tell you something. The Bing AI image creator has been just been terrific ever since I started using it back in November. I love that thing, as you can tell by the graphics for Love Hurts. I think most of those came out pretty well, I have to say. But
The Love Hurts graphics are beautiful. The Immortal 11 graphic is absolutely breathtaking.
I thought so. I really did, and it is. I have to say I love AI. I am now addicted. No more going to lots of websites to look for just the right picture, or even. I mean, we might somewhere do a pay-per-view again where I use some more of your stuff, Maeve, which, by the way, I got to give Maeve credit for helping me out with promos for previous pay-per-views. What do we
you
call
don't
them?
Have to talk about that.
What's that?
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, you did a great job. You were, that's what I was. Yeah. Speaking of that, the Funko Pops. How the sales of the RAW Funko Pops going? Are you making money on those?
The tricky thing about that is that you got to split the money with the Funko people. But I'm hoping to get those up in the store for broader distribution in the very near future. So I'm gonna post the ones that we've already got production on. And if anyone else sees them and likes them, reach out to me, and I'll be happy to make sure that you get one in the store as well.
All right. Well, you know, I think we've said just about everything we need to say tonight. I mean, we've talked about the pay-per-view. We will be back here, believe, next week. And once we do get... hopefully next week. If not, we'll certainly be back the week after once we'll get all the Love Hurts results in. And, when I say next week, I mean next Saturday night for RAWF After Hours. And, Maeve, it's been a pleasure you helping me out, stepping in for El Vacant this weekend. And hopefully he feels better by next weekend. I'd hate this.
Hopefully he feels better, and hopefully he doesn't bring back any germs, because I certainly don't want him to get donkey flu.
I really don't want to sound like that when we come back next week.
Mm-mm.
Because, no.
Hard pass.
All right, but thank you very much for helping me out, Maeve. Much obliged. And for those of you who didn't show up because you were watching the big game, I hope you enjoyed it, watching Taylor Swift and whatever else is going on. I got what I needed out of it. I already watched all the commercials. So
thoughts and prayers for Usher's ACL.
Oh, goodness. All right. So for that being said, ladies and gentlemen, for the lovely first class last Maeve O'Hare, I am Lord Amadeus. This has been RAWF Love Hurts. We will see you all very soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.